Golf is just a game that we can play forever, and the things we get out of the game of golf are so special. But once these kids realize what a skill they can have in this game, and then they work at it, and then they're successful. And these kids have all started very, very young, and they've trying to reach the next level. They learn a little bit every year, whether we've had other swing coaches or other people helping them along. But I'm just trying to point them in the right direction to do the right things on and off the golf course. And I can still tweak their swings where they might be just a little bit off, because they're that talented enough where I can see that if they can make this move or make that swing plane or thought or whatever, I can get them going. And then I try to add in my experience of how I did it and people I've been around it and before me. And I try not to relate back too much to the older kids, so they don't really remember, you know, some of these older teams and so forth. So they're creating their own identity.
Welcome to Castle's Corner Podcast, and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Tommy Castle. I'm a senior multimedia journalist and staff writer with the Metro West Daily and Milford Daily News. I'm also the editor of the Needham Times and Wellesley Townsman sports sections. And you can also follow me on Twitter at TommyCastle44. This week, I'm joined by Hopkinton sophomore golf star Matt Epstein and longtime Hopkinton golf coach Dick Bliss. Guys, thanks so much for joining Castle's Corner.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
The Hopkinton golf team recently competed in the Division II South Sectional Tournament, as the Hillers came in second place behind Epstein's team-leading 2-over-par 73. That 2-over-par or 1-over-par?
That was 2-over-par.
2-over-par, 73. With the runner-up finish, Hopkinton advances to Division II State Championship, which is held at Highlands Golf Club in Grafton, not too far down the street from the Hillers. Now, Matt, going back to sectionals, how do you think you and the team performed?
I was very pleased with my individual performance, but I was very, very pleased with the team's performance. It was a goal to qualify for states, because it's been nearly a decade since the team has, and so that was definitely, the best part of yesterday.
And it was a little bit of a sketchy start for you guys in a sense of weather, with the fog rolling in. We saw it at Gillette with the Patriots beating the Falcons.
Yes.
I don't even think they have half the game tape they can use from that one. So I can imagine that was a little iffy and sketchy for you guys as well on the golf course over in Easton, or South Easton as it was, at the Easton Country Club. How'd that come into play, and how'd that affect play early on and for the whole round for you guys?
Yeah, there was a 30-minute delay. We were supposed to tee off at 9 o'clock, and it wasn't until almost 9:45 that we got out there. And the first two holes were still in the fog. So I hit my second shot on the first hole thinking it was on the green, and I missed the green. So it definitely maybe cost a couple of strokes early, but everyone had to deal with it. So same conditions for all 90 kids.
Now, I spoke with Coach Bliss, who's sitting next to you right now, on the phone after the Hillers' second place finish, where they scored a team total of 306 strokes, or a total of 306. That was one stroke behind Oliver Ames for top spot. Now, Dick, you told me afterwards, quote unquote, if you told me we shoot a 306 a month ago, I'd say no way. Now, Dick has seen his team perform well in the Tri-Valley League over the past 15 years, as Matt had referenced a little earlier. And but the Hillers had an advance to a state championship
the finals
tournament, yeah, since back-to-back state titles in 2003 and 2004. What was the key to this year's group becoming the first team in 13 years to advance the states?
The key was the expectations weren't there to keep going onward. It's always a goal of ours, and we had a good, season by winning the Tri-Valley League. And going into the last two or three weeks of the season, everybody started playing well together. Younger kids were starting to believe in their game. Had a couple of kids that didn't play well early in the season started to play well. And then when you got this guy, Maddie, beside me, he took the reins, got us going in the right. You got to have that number one guy go low, and he did it for us. And then the other scores came in, and we were peaking at the right time. And I'm looking forward to next Tuesday. It's going to be fun.
Now, Dick, you've had some undefeated regular season teams in 2013 and 2014. Actually, you're wearing their pullover jacket right now with a nice undefeated record. And then you only had one loss in 2015, so in that stretch of 3 years, one loss from 2013 to 2015. How would you stack up this year's squad to maybe some of those teams? I know it's a young squad here, but like you said, or like we said here, the first team events the states in 13 years.
Yeah, those teams were so talented. They played together. They were the best friends together, and that usually what really makes a team, because they hung out together. Their life was around golf, and their parents' life was taken around to different golf courses and different tournaments, and I could see that team really making its mark. But, you know, we only lose one match in 3 years, and we were in a very, very, very good Tri-Valley League. We were probably respected as one of the best golf leagues in the state, and we were just so talented and doing so well. But golf is a game where any day anybody can beat anybody. I know you hear that as a cliche, but, you know, we went to the state tournaments, and 3 years in a row we missed by one shot, we missed by one shot, we missed by two shots. With probably, except for the 203, 204 team, the most talented kids I've ever had. Now, relating to where Maddie's group is coming on, they're young. Maddie's been on there 2 years, but I knew they were coming, and the kids that are around them are freshmen and sophomores. We've had one senior leader that's done very well, but the next 2 years could be really special again. And these kids have, number one, you got to have the passion. If you don't have the passion to play this game, and I'm sure we'll talk about how they all start to, you know, as they get older, they start to factor their way into one sport instead of three, because most of these kids are really talented athletes. And they're good kids from good backgrounds in Hoppington, and we got a good thing going, Maddie.
You guys sure do have a good thing going as you head to states next week. We're going to take a quick break before we dive more into Epstein's golfing and Bliss's overseeing of the Hoppington golf team.
This is Castle's Corner.
Okay, we're back here on Castle's Corner. I'm joined by Hoppington sophomore Matt Epstein and Westboro native and Hoppington golf coach Dick Bliss. Matt, you're the next name in a long line of Hoppington golf lineage that we'll go over in a second. You've averaged a score of 37 over the past 2 years, which is one over par at your home course of Hoppington Country Club. What's it like to find yourself leading the Hiller's Story program as only a sophomore?
Yeah, well, I'd say I'm not doing it alone. You know, I had the privilege to work with two of the nicest kids and great senior captains, and Tommy and Ben this year. You know, when it comes to scores, it was very nice to be able to lead the team and be the low man. But, you know, a lot of the kids on the team also contributed, so I wasn't the low guy every time. We were very deep this year. So, you know, I think I led, but, you know, to an extent. So.
We covered a Hoppington golf match. I think it was against Medway during the year. And I think, Maddie, you had you were 3 under or something like that, or 4 under after eight holes, and
yeah.
You had a little bit of a double bogey oopsie on the ninth hole there,
yeah.
Against Medway. I think you guys won the match.
We still got the win.
Match. Obviously, yeah. A little bit of a shot yourself in the foot there, I guess, in the last hole. But
that stung.
Matt's had, three 34s this year and a handful of 35s as well.
A couple of 35s, yeah.
So that's under par golf for high school golf as a sophomore. So that's pretty impressive. Dick, you've seen a fair share of very talented golfers come through Hopkinton over the nearly 40 years of coaching golf in Hopkinton, whether it be PGA stalwart Keegan Bradley, PGA player John Curran, or former Duke University standout and star Kim Donovan. You've been around the who's who when it comes to golf and golfers in Massachusetts over the years. Can you tell me about the experience of coaching those aforementioned stars as well as Matt and company this year?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very blessed. And our program wasn't always a place where it is right now. I mean, it took years to start building a program. But then when you get the three, as I call them, superstars come in, and then the kids that are around them, that, like Maddie's group, is they're all good friends, and the 13 and 14 team were good friends. Everybody got together, and that's all they did. They lived to play golf. They lived to compete. And they did it all summer. It wasn't just, you know, during the fall, which we play in. And they were just great players. And I didn't have to do a lot with them because they had swing coaches. Their parents had really brought them to a level where they were some of the best junior players in not only our own state, but the United States. They were all ranked. So you knew where they were going. And they had dreams. And I will never tell any one of them, and I never told any of my players that, don't follow the chances of ever making it are slim, because there are so many great players in every sport. But they had a mission, and boy, they accomplished it and of making it to the Pro Tour, both John and Keegan. And Kim could have made it too, but she chose to graduate from Duke, a wonderful university. She's in the banking industry in Boston and doing very well. I played with her last year a couple times, and she actually had my I have a girl on my team, Abby J, who's going to be a junior. As a junior now, I'm going to be a senior next year, and she's in that line to be not quite as maybe as powerful as Kim, and maybe as talented, but she's going to be a good player too. So, but those three were very special athletes that a coach once in his lifetime gets those. And then I've had a run in 13 and 14. And I think we got a run through 16, 17, and 18 now. So we're in good shape.
Yeah, I know you've been blessed to have a fair share of golfers that have moved on to either collegiate or professional golf. The name that sticks out, though, for me and for everyone, I think, is Keegan Bradley, who played for just 1 year for the Hillers, kind of recruited him back over to Hopkinton. Bradley was the former PGA Rookie of the Year, former PGA Championship champion, and a Ryder Cup team member as well. What kind of Keegan Bradley stories do you have for us?
Wow. I kind of knew Keegan because during the summer months, his father was the assistant pro at Hopkinton Country Club, which is that became Hopkinton in 2002. It was the former Saddle Hill Country Club, where our teams played before at that point in time. But Keegan always would come down to our club during the summer and practice, and he'd hang with his dad, and he was a great downhill ski racer up in Woodstock, and he liked Woodstock. He's like a country boy up there, and he came down to Hopkinton, and I saw him hit the golf ball on him and said to his dad, I said, is there any way you can move down here? And Johnny goes, we're going to make that happen. And Johnny helped I don't want to call it recruiting, but he came down, and we had a great team going on at that time anyhow, and he was just what we needed to push us over the top. And in 2003, he went down to Beverly Country Club, and it was icicles. We had fog the other day. Well, this was ice. We had to wait almost 2.5 hours before we could play, and he went out and shot 69. It's one of the greatest rounds I've ever seen. John shot 70, Kim shot 71, and we had a fourth player shoot 74. Which is a state record. I don't think it'll ever be touched because he had three Division I players there, plus you had a bunch of other kids that were very talented too. So it was just one of those days where everything comes together, and it was a memory I'll never forget.
Yeah, I know it was just 1 year of Keegan, but I'm sure there's a bunch of memories from that season with him and that group, like you said, of John Kern and Kim Donovan, all have gone on to play collegiate golf and all could have played professional golf, like you said, with Kim choosing going to a different career. But Matt, moving back over to you, and this year with Hopkinton Golf, you were a TV All-Star last year and also a Daily News All-Star as a freshman, and you're well on your way this year to those honors again. What's it like having a coach like Coach Bliss here, who has obviously been around the block a few times when it comes to golf in Hopkinton?
Yeah, that's an understatement. To be able to play for Coach Bliss and work with him in practice alongside him is an honor and a privilege. To be able to learn from him, have his guidance, have his mentorship is great. He's helped me as a golfer on the course and definitely as a person off the course. So it's been great.
Now, does he have a lot of stories for you guys when you're out there on the driving range or driving the car? Does he tend to go on about the glory days and hoping that you guys, the next group, how's it kind of work, the dynamic with Coach Bliss out there on the course?
He doesn't really relive those days. He's very modest, I think. So I think he doesn't, bring that up or compare us, do any of that. He's all about the here and now, and I think as a team, that's the mentality too. So.
Well, it seems like it's done well for you guys this year so far, and hopefully one more tournament for you and the rest of the Hillers. Dick, you grew up in Westboro, and
yes.
Went to Westboro High. You won three state championships there as a golfer, as a ranger.
Yep.
And then went on to play at the University of Houston after college.
Yep.
You came back to the Metro West area and were deciding between two towns, or school systems, in Algonquin and Hopkinton, because Westboro was just booked up at the time, right?
It was.
And you chose to teach at Hopkinton. Now, during your time at Hopkinton, you spent 30 years coaching basketball, 10 years coaching football. You had a brief stint with the girls' tennis team. You've obviously been doing golf for almost 4 decades. And you were athletic director for 5 years. You retired from teaching in the Hopkinton systems in 2004 and stuck on, obviously, coaching. That's a lot. We have a lot there to go over. But what was your time like? What has your time at Hopkinton been like?
Been a pleasure, number one. I mean, I've had the privilege, and not many coaches or teachers get to do this, where you can see the town grow from. We were the smallest in the Tri-Valley League when I first started coaching in the early 70s. And when the class size was probably anywhere from 60 to 80 kids a class. You got a class of 100 as we moved in through the 70s to 80s. That was big. And then as time went by and a lot of factors, EMC moving into town and just towns realizing that, and the town realized that education was the number one priority. And we just started to develop the numbers. And I was looking at the enrollment this year. It's over 1,200 in the high school. So that's over 300 kids a class. So, and that helps, as you saw, we were the smallest. And now we're in a situation in our league where we've got another team coming in. So we got an upper division and a lower division, like the Bay State League has done in some of the bigger leagues. So now we're the number one team in the upper league as far as enrollment. And when you have those kind of numbers and you have the dedication that the parents have put the time with their kids in and the passion these kids and the commitment these kids have, you're going to get some pretty good athletes. And once the winning starts, as any coach knows, if you can stay on top of it and keep it going, you can have some great years.
Now, Bliss and Hopkinton have 28 players in their program right now, split between varsity and junior varsity, which is a high number as opposed to other teams throughout the state. And it speaks that volume of having that many talented athletes in the school system. As we see right now, Hopkinton Fall Sports are doing very well. I think we mentioned four out of six teams have won TVL large titles, just like you guys, which I wanted to hit on, Matt. You guys are playing rival Westwood. It was last week, and you don't know, or apparently you guys don't know, if the TVL large is on the line. Maybe that has to do with your youth of the team. You got a couple of freshmen, sophomores. Maybe it had to just do with you guys are just eyeing the prize one day at a time. But Coach obviously didn't give you guys any golden nuggets or anything like that. So you guys go out and beat Westwood. And I talked to Coach Bliss that night, and we weren't sure, or he wouldn't give me the golden ticket, but he didn't tell me if you guys won or not. So can you tell me through that process of have that match with Westwood, TVL's on a large, TVL title's on the line, and then you guys don't find out till the next day that you officially won?
Yeah, it was a little confusing to be on the course that day because Coach didn't say anything before the round. The Westwood kids were actually telling us on the course, you know, this means something. So I guess Coach Bliss didn't want to give us that added pressure, but we ended up finding out kind of that night, and then the next day Coach confirmed it to the entire team, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, what was that moment like? I know you just been playing 2 years, but obviously you guys didn't win it last year. Westwood had won the title last year. You see these shirts that Coach Bliss will wear every once in a while with the record and the titles on his shirt, and now you guys can make your own shirt and have your own kind of legacy. So that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. To not win it last year, kind of stung because the teams leading up to that year were so great, and then that was definitely a goal this year to bring the TVL back, and we did that. We accomplished that, and we definitely mentioned to Coach Bliss to get some maybe hoodies or something like that, our own gear.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely need some swag. Well, Coach Bliss and Dick, it seems like you play close to the vest, and it can be tight-lipped when you need to be. And over your time at Hopkinton, it seems like maybe you could be a shoe-in for mayor if Hopkinton keeps growing in a couple years. But
there's plenty of wonderful people in Hopkinton. I just love going there, and I still go there, and it's wonderful. It's only 8 miles away from my home in Westboro, which has made it ideal. So it's been great.
All right. Well, we'll get away from mayor talk and Hopkinton golf talk, and we're going to take our last break here. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Maddie's golfing and Coach's coaching.
This is Castle's Corner.
All right, we're back here on Castle's Corner, and I'm joined by Hopkinton's Matt Epstein and Hopkinton coach Dick Bliss. Matt, what's it like not being able to drive a car since you're 16 and still haven't got a permit, but you can, you know, you drive a ball over 280 yards? Must be kind of funny. You still got chauffeurs around here like Coach Bliss, and I'm sure your parents and maybe some of the seniors on the golf team. But then I also want to know, how did you get into golf in the first place?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All my buddies are getting their perma right now, so that's definitely the next thing on the list to do once the golf season ends. But I got into golf when I was 2 years old. My grandpa got me into the game right away. Plastic clubs, ping pong balls, hitting it in the backyard. Then it led to my dad getting me my first set of clubs when I was 3-4 years old. And I got into tournaments right away when I was 6 and have been playing competitively since. So,
Coach, you're no stranger to the recruitment process as a player and a coach, as you went to University of Houston and went on to play in college. And then now you've helped so many people, or at least been there to steward some people mm-hmm. towards college golf. How do you help players like Matt and the Bradleys, Currents, and Donovans of the world go through that process?
Well, first of all, they have to have the background from their parents that have pointed them in the right direction and given them the great set of values which they need. And golf is just a game that we can play forever, and the things we get out of the game of golf are so special. But once these kids realize what a skill they can have in this game, and then they work at it, and then they're successful. And these kids have all started very, very young, and they've trying to reach the next level. They learn a little bit every year, whether we've had other swing coaches or other people helping them along. But I've just tried to point them in the right direction to do the right things on and off the golf course. And I can still tweak their swings where they might be just a little bit off, because they're that talented enough where I can see that if they can make this move or make that swing plane or thought or whatever, I can get them going. And then I try to add in my experience of how I did it and people I've been around it and before me. And I try not to relate back too much to the older kids, so they don't really remember, you know, some of these older teams and so forth. So they're creating their own identity right now, and it's going to be a good ride.
Matt, speaking of the recruitment process, what's the most interesting part of trying to get your game and your name noticed by colleges and other folks? And maybe what's the hardest part of the whole process?
Yeah, the most interesting part, probably some of the most fun, comes from traveling around New England and, you know, around the United States for tournaments with my dad, with my mom, with my grandparents. So that whole process, going to tournaments, getting exposure, that's always been very fun and exciting. Getting emails back from coaches, all that is really cool. The hardest part, though, is honestly the same. Just the entire process, putting that in perspective and not getting too excited or too down on myself from having a tough stretch, because it's just, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's just golf. So,
and I know it wasn't always just golf for you when you were growing up. You played basketball and baseball, and you were on that to the Williamsport baseball team in Hopkinton a couple years back when you made it to the state quarterfinals. So what was the decision like to specialize solely in golf, and how hard was that, or how easy was that, and what did it come down to?
It was a very tough decision. The Williamsport team that I was on was coached by my dad, and the entire Little League, all the Little League teams I was on leading up to that were coached by my dad, and I loved baseball. I loved being with a group of guys and having the team, the camaraderie, all that. So it was a very tough decision, but I realized that if I specialized on golf, I could probably reach my goals that I have in it. So I think at the end of the day, it was just the passion that was the deciding factor.
Now, Dick, what's your take on kind of this landscape of high school sports these days? I think you've seen it all since you've been around sports mm-hmm. in high school sports for a long time. What's your take on kids moving away from the traditional three-sport athletes to being more of a specializing in one sport kind of athlete?
Yeah, Matt, when I first started coaching, of course, I was the phys ed teacher in town and saw the kids as far as what they were going to be like athletes. And I have to tell you, I was kind of selfish because I was coaching three sports. I'm going, okay, I'd like you to play three sports. And in the olden days, that was the way to go. The kids that didn't have really a lot of time off, which is good for kids that they, you know, prioritize schoolwork along with playing in sports. But as time went on and I saw what was going on, and the kids had to start making decisions, which is very, very difficult. I mean, first of all, they make that decision, and then they got to take their skill in that sport and take it to another level. And it's a lot of on the parents to support this skill. I mean, not only financially, but as Matt travels and gets around and so forth, there was no time to do the other sports if he really wanted to specialize. So, yeah, you know, they'll find out what they want as they get towards the middle school years, and If they think that's the one that, and I'm not talking to get scholarships, I'm just talking to enjoy a sport that they can play forever, which golf is the sport by far, I think. And I'm kind of biased on that. But I did coach the other sports and loved watching the athletes in the old days. They went from one to another, and it was great. So, but if you want to go and try to play at the next level, yeah, you really got to specialize these days.
Yeah, I know it's a very hot-button topic these days with the high schoolers and high school sports. And I think it changes a little bit when it has to do with golf as opposed to maybe some other sports.
Right, it does.
And we see the stats with athletes going to play at Division I schools in one sport as opposed to another. So I think it comes down to the situation of the sport, but like we said, the trend is going that way for sure.
Is. Yeah.
It'd be silly for me, and I'd be remiss not to ask you guys before I let you go, about any hole-in-ones, aces you've had in your day. I think that's what everyone wants to ask to a golfer. Mm-hmm. If they're not a golfer, or even if they are someone that plays a good amount. Matt, since you're the youngster in the room, I'm going to start with you. I've never gotten a hole-in-one, and I'm about a decade older than you, so I'm still searching for it. What about you?
I am also still searching for my first. I've come fairly close in tournaments. I've had a couple words, maybe a rotation or two short of going in. You know, I'm never going to complain with a kick and birdie. Those are always nice to have, but I've never got one.
Yeah, plus you can't probably foot the bill of the 19th hole with the hole-in-one yet.
My dad would be the one paying for the beers, so yeah.
But you know what? Highfields is where you're playing next week, hole number two. You know, I'm not going to throw it out there, put any jinx on you, but you know, you could just throw a dart down there and see what goes on.
Downhill 130, not bad. Maybe.
Dick, same question for you. You've had a little bit more time to
yes.
be able to just try to sink a couple hole-in-ones, aces, whatever you like to call them. What's your story on that?
Well, I've got 60 years of golf experience myself here, so started about the same time Maddie did, and I was fortunate enough to, and part of making a hole-in-one, you got to have a little bit of luck on your side, without a doubt. You got to make a good shot and a good swing, but I've been fortunate enough to have four, and one of them was at Westboro, the second hole, playing with my buddies on opening day, when there was five people in the group, and usually only playing foursomes, and knocked it in on a par four, 320 yards, and as you said, that was a very expensive bill that day, and on a teacher's salary, it didn't go too far that day, I'll tell you. But I've had won it at Hoppington Country Club, which is now our eighth hole, which was the seventh when I made one there. And I've had one at Millwood Farms, and I had another one at Westboro. So I've been fortunate, and I did have a two on a par five, which is an albatross, which one of our kids, Ryan Lundy, this year had one, and Mom called me right away. She said, "Coach, do you ever have one of these?" And I said, "You're not going to believe it, but in the high school championship in 1963, I was lucky enough to make one of those." So I've been fortunate. Like I say, it's a lot of luck. And like I say, I've 60 years of golf, and a lot of things can happen, both good and bad, but it's been mostly good, especially with the coaching.
Well, I think it's been mostly good this season for the Hillers and the Hoppington golf team. I'm not going to say it's been luck, but I do wish you good luck on your journey in the Division II state championship, as you guys compete against the cream of the crop now next week. So good luck there, and thanks so much for coming in and joining Castle's Corner.
Thank you.
I also want to thank my producer, Caitlin Kelleher, as well for all our help behind the scenes. You can subscribe to Castle's Corner podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. We'll also check in every Wednesday for a new Castle's Corner. Thanks again for joining me here on Castle's Corner podcast. Until next time, I'm Tommy Castle, and thanks for checking in.